clever for realizing you don't have to pay $5 for great coffee. There is freshly ground coffee at 7-Eleven for just $1. Be coffee clever at 7-Eleven.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen,
Today FM Breakfast. Grant Denyer, Ed Cavalier and Ash London.
Maybe it's a brand new day.
Everyone's been singing Sin Almost Fire in the studio.
But we don't know any words apart from Sin Almost Fire.
Yeah.
True.
Some good falsetto action in there.
Higher and higher.
Jeez, you've got a tight pair of bloody jeans on when you're building that track out, aren't you? That's the only way you get those notes.
So apart from that, we don't do it on the podcast, thankfully. We spoke to some folks in an arranged marriage.
They'd known each other for 5 hours before they got married.
And they're super happy, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So, yeah, enjoy that.
Misha Barton as well. She was on the show this morning.
And E.T. Yeah.
E.T.
Oh, up the Sharkies.
Oh, I love that man.
Boo.
Love
God, he
guys.
Could run. Was he out? He was a winger, wasn't he?
He was out in the centre.
Oh, yeah. Was he? Yeah, fast on his feet, flowing locks down the field. God, he was delicious to watch. I saw him in the near nutty. I reveal that. He didn't really bite much, did he?
He didn't
remember me being in there in 92. I don't know what's wrong with him, 93.
He doesn't want to. You tell a story about like an underage lad wandering into the change room and seeing him, and it's like it's a weird opener for him to be like, yeah, I remember that. It was sick.
I remember you.
Yeah, that's a weird, that's a hard corner.
It was important to me because I've still got the ball. I only found it the other day. It's got all the Queensland players
Picture and put it on the internet like every other.
Righto, I'll go get a bloody ball and take me photo with it now. Yeah.
What's happening? Anyways,
I'm already on Instagram.
Okay, enjoy the podcast.
She's gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello, good morning, how you doing?
Today FM Breakfast. Maybe it's a brand new day. Grant Denyer, Ed Cavalier and Ash London.
One, two, three, go!
The rest of my life gonna start today.
Yay, what's up, Sydney? Good morning to you and happy Monday, my friends. Good morning, Ash London. Good morning, Ed Cavalier.
Morning, darling.
So glad that weekend's over. Couldn't stand to have another day away from you two.
That's lovely. I had a really big weekend. I feel like I traversed the whole nation this weekend.
Went to Adelaide,
went to Melbourne, came home to Sydney.
Any flight issues? Because we know you're not a great traveller.
Well, I did fly at night last night. I was fine. Thank you for asking. Getting there, guys.
That's a good breakthrough. Would you say that is the hypnotherapy working?
I think it's a mixture of hypnotherapy, psychology, chiropractic, physiotherapy, meditation. Pretty much spending a lot of money at the moment. Trying to be a normal human being.
No, it's not a natural thing to fly, so you've done well.
Thanks, darling.
To get over it. But
understanding it.
I'll be honest, wasn't listening. Just watching Smitty and Wade crack big tons in England.
Hey.
Is that
overnight.
Cricket?
Ashes, yeah. Chad.
Steve's
loving it.
Sam Smith.
Both of them good with the wood in their hands,
that's
but very differently.
How many runs has Steve Smith got?
All of them.
He got 140 and he got a century in both innings. Matty Wade's back again. It's just a great time to be
out. Well, under his leadership, he humiliated Australia in front of the world.
No, it wasn't his fault.
He was the leader. No, he didn't take the rap. Good on him for coming back.
I blame everybody else.
All right, let's start things this morning. E.T. from Survivor is going to join us before 6:30.
Australia's hottest middle-aged man.
Oh, yeah.
He's Australia's hottest middle-aged man.
I'm in.
If you want to pick up a family pass to Taronga Zoo, now is the time to call on 131060. We'll play categories next. It's just bloody easy. That's all you need to know.
Very easy.
131060, call us. Give your little and big ones the best family day out imaginable and catch a glimpse of some very cute and cuddly winter babies this weekend. Taronga Zoo, Sydney.
New category.
Great, next category.
How many categories?
We have got a family pass at Taronga Zoo up for grabs this morning. All you got to do is name 3 items in a category, Quizmaster. GD, take it away, baby.
Yeah, and you just got 5 seconds. Who's first on the line?
Rebecca from Cambridge Park.
Rebecca, good morning to you. Would you like to go to the zoo?
Yes.
I'd love to go to the zoo.
All right, you know how this works. Three things in 5 seconds. Let's get this started. Okay, 5 seconds to name three types of underwear. Go.
Undies, bras and singlets.
Underwear all on the bottom half?
Not necessarily. Well, it's undergarment.
Underwear. I reckon underwear is undies.
I mean, if the adjudicators were paying attention, they'd give us a ruling. But
wait a second. A bra is underwear. Are you kidding? How is a bra not underwear?
Underwear
is
under
your clothes. In the underwear section.
But yeah, you buy it in the underwear section. What you wear on your bum?
No, underwear is what you wear under your clothes, not under your belly button.
Yeah, you've made a good point.
Are we going with it? We're doing this?
Guess we have to.
We're paying
there
singlet.
We go.
Yeah, good on you, Rebecca.
Stupid.
Yay!
Underwear.
Sorry while we fight amongst ourselves. We really did want you to win, trust me.
Enjoy your own dessert, darling.
Thank you.
Family pass yours. Easy as that. Give your little and big ones the best family day out imaginable and catch a glimpse of some very cute and cuddly winter babies this weekend at Taronga Zoo.
Up the Sharkies. I tried to sound like a proper NRL person there.
It was pretty good.
You sounded as awkward as ScoMo does when he rocks up.
We are absolutely honoured to have Andrew Ettinghausen, a.k.a. E.T. from Australian Survivor, one of the champions in studio. Welcome, matey.
Good to be here.
You're a good-looking man.
I'm an old man now, what were they calling us? The old team. The
Dilfs?
Can't remember now. But Luke Tokey, who's just an absolute scream on the show, he was saying we're the, something like the retired team or something. I can't quite remember.
You're a babe, mate. Well,
E.T., I was reading some of your comments after you got kicked out of Survivor, and you say that you shouldn't have gone into the alliance with the sporting people. That you went against your principles and, you lost a little bit of sleep over the elimination. You took it pretty hard.
Oh, it's one of those games that you get off and you kind of go, I should have done this and should have done that.
I reckon if you
played it, 20 times, you'd finish in a different position every time as well.
That's interesting. So did you love it? Because you're competitive, but you were never like a backstabby kind of a bitchy sort of guy. You were too nice.
Yeah, I went into the game to sort of, the first few days I thought, okay, I'm going to meet all these different guys and girls and, just sort of suss them out and get a good feel of the place and then sort of maybe work some alliance somewhere. Mm. But straight away, Stephen Bradbury sort of whispered in my ear. He's like, hey, there's seven athletes. Let's get together and, that'll be 7-5. And I thought, that sounds a pretty good start. Away we went. But two jump ship after day three and... And you're on the other side of the alliance. You're not in a very good posse, let me tell you. So I thought, well, what can you do? It is Survivor.
Yeah.
Did you find it a bit nastier and dirtier and angrier than you thought? Because no doubt you could go on and go, this could be a bit of fun, a bit of national television show, good chance to go to a nice holiday destination, but it just all ended up a bit darker than you imagined.
Oh, yeah, Grant, I can tell you now, you sit back at home and you watch it on telly and it looks, I could do that. You sit back and think it's all pretty cruisy. But it's not just the physical challenges that it's just super duper hard. Like you're maxing out every day trying to lift things and move things and work as a team. And then you get back, you're sort of eating rice and beans and so you're starving and ripping off the calories every day. And then you've got to do all this social stuff, and all behind the scenes, everyone's, conspiring and trying to work little groups together. It is a tough game.
Yeah.
It is.
I did read that you struggled with all the conversations.
It's a lot of talking going on, but you've got to kind of, we had this little group of seven, so I'm trying to keep it nice and tight and not let the five know about it, but they find out pretty quick.
E.T., why would they get rid of you? You've been, when you left football, you pretty much jumped straight onto a boat and have been getting filmed fishing for 30 years.
Yeah, it's true.
Why would they get rid of why keep a model when you're a professional fisherman?
I should have moved across. As soon as that alliance broke, I should have moved across to those guys. Yeah. And in the end, it's all numbers, it's a numbers game.
But they're idiots. What do they want to eat? You can't eat selfies. Why keep the model?
I would have definitely got some fish in the end, but we had no time. I think I had 2 hours in the whole few weeks I was over there.
Ah, that's all you could do to fish. Yeah, right.
I'm not here for the model. What's his name? David?
David,
not for me.
I think there's a few, there's a little bit of hate mail going around. Yeah. He's one of those dudes. I mean, he pulled the shonky on Sean at the moment.
Yeah.
So he's got the idol, made up the dud idol, and he's got the good idol. So he's really, Yeah, he's in the bad books with a few people, but I don't think those sort of people last too long on the show.
ET, I got to say, you were looking pretty mighty fine in there, almost as good. See, you without a shirt off is, I know, one of my mum's favourite things in the world because yeah, I've seen you in your undies, mate. You won't remember this, but this was 1993. I was a State of Origin ball boy in Melbourne for 2 years in a row. Wow. And I walked into the change rooms. I've still got the ball, and I walked straight up to you first and said, mate, would you please sign this? You're my favourite player. And you're standing there in your jocks. And my mum has never forgotten that because you were delicious with the abs. You had the chest and you had the flowing locks out the back. It was just magnificent.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I wish it was magnificent now. You know, I'm a hell of a lot older. You know, but it's it was just great fun to be able to get on there and try to compete with these young dudes who are, you know, just, the contenders team was so much fun as well. There's so many characters in there.
Too nice, ET. You're too nice to him. Nice. If it were me, I'd be slating people today. I'd be Bradbury, a loser, and that model can go F himself. You're such a good dude. All right, ET, it's a pleasure. You're a great bloke. Lovely to have you with us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, guys.
Make sure you check it out. Australian Survivor Champions v Contenders, 7:30 weeknights on Channel 10.
A friend of mine went to go and see a band at the weekend. I want you to sort of tell me whether this is okay or not.
Cool.
Right?
I got a lot of gigs. I reckon I'm the person to ask.
Is this rock star or not? Okay. She went to the uni bar, right, to see her favourite band, the Rubens.
Oh, yeah, I love the Rubens.
She dreamed of this night out for quite a while, maybe getting a bit of FaceTime with her favourite band. Got all dolled up, you know, front row, so prime posse, you know, ready to have the time of her life and perhaps, who knows, make an impression in front of the band.
If you wanted to bang one of the band members, is what you said.
Yeah, let's face it. Let's be honest. Of course you did. Everyone was frothing over the lead singer. I think Sam.
Yeah, he's hot.
Might be his name. Sam. Yeah, kind of got that swagger, good hair, cool unit with a mic front and center. And she dreamed of having some sort of, you know, acknowledgement from him, you know, like some sort of like a locking look of eyes. And then right in the middle of her favorite song, bang, there it is. Eyes are locked. There was a moment between the both of them. Mm. And she's like, okay, where's this going to go? And then he's grabbed her by the hand.
What?
And she's like, yes, this is it. Is this a pash? Is it a marriage proposal? Who knows what's going to happen next? So he grabs her hand, he leans over, and then he just spits his chewing gum into the palm of her hand.
No.
Oh. It just goes.
No.
Oh. Straight into that. Yeah, he used her as a human ashtray.
Took a turn.
Right, have a listen to the audio.
She seems happy about it.
She's loving it.
I thought, who wants to be treated like a human rubbish bin? Like, we all dream of, you know, swapping fluids with your favourite music artist, but he literally just used her as a trash receptacle.
Now, if John Mayer did that for me, I would frame the chewing gum. I reckon she's had a win there.
You reckon it is? That probably explains why it's on her bedside table now.
Yeah, but she's living. No, it's a win.
Is that a win?
Okay? Yeah, that's a win. That's fine.
That's a big win.
Yeah. Well done to your friend.
Good work.
Miss Gross, but it's a win.
Yeah. Dream gig with Sam. This Ushi thing is going insane. Obviously, everywhere. There was a swap meet at the weekend where people were just going nuts, just fighting over any Ushi that they could find. And I got to say, I've been trying to avoid this like the plague because I don't need more crap in my life. The last thing I need is a bit of plastic stuff.
How are you going with that? Are you avoiding it?
Well, we're avoiding it until we went shopping yesterday and we're driving back and little sales just opens up her couple of little Ushis and she goes, oh, this one's a rare one. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, whatever. It can't be that rare. We've just jagged one pretty easily. And it turns out it's a blue Mufasa. Now,
is that a big deal?
I just Googled it this morning. A blue Mufasa is worth anything between $5,000 and $25,000.
So you're saying is you said you weren't going to get involved and now you need to, and you're obsessed with Ushis and it's changed your life.
I'm quitting television and radio today. This is my retirement plan, okay?
All right, just hold that thought because I know that there's an issue with this blue Mufasa, so we'll come back and we'll find out what that issue is. And we want to know, are you in the Ushi Maya?
Are you all right, Grant? Are you okay?
Oh, there's an issue. All right. There's an issue.
Give us a call, 131060. Are Ushis taking over your life? Are you wanting to throw your kids, Are you wanting to nicely ask your kids to be quiet and stop talking? Are they on you, just on you?
Maybe you went to one of the swap meets over the weekend and it was just utter chaos.
Mate,
from what I blast another parent.
From what I've seen on the internet, it was pretty nuts out there. Parents pushing children out of the way.
I love it.
We can't give you an ushy for calling up, but we do have tickets to see Muriel's Wedding, the musical.
Yeah.
Great.
So that could be
that's
yours.
That's all right.
Oh, hang on. I'm happy to trade my Mustafa for a gold bar.
Ushies taking over your life. 13, 10, 60.
Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM.
Going to the supermarket's annoying enough, but imagine having a kid with you pulling on your shirt, being like, buy them all things so I can have some mushies. I can't think of anything worse. But it seems to be turning out well for you, Granny.
Well, I was not on board this ushy craze whatsoever. It's the last thing I wanted until Sailor from the back seat driving home from the supermarket yesterday says, I have a rare one, a blue Mufasa, which is currently valued, as I'm looking online, anything between $2,000 and $5,000, as much as $10,000.
Now, is anyone actually bidding for them? Is it just some crazy person saying, give me $5,000 for it, zero bids?
Well, I've only just discovered its value this morning, but there's a bigger problem. We have a blue Mufasa, but we have lost the blue Mufasa in the house. Oh. It was last seen going into the bathtub with Scouty last night. She likes to take toys in there. She'll sit in there for half an hour and sing to herself and play all sorts of games. It came out, it was dried, it was put on the bench top, but it has gone missing. Shezzy's blaming Sailor. Sailor's blaming Shezzy. I'm hoping and praying it's not in the bin because that means I'll have to spend the day going through the rubbish bin to try and find it.
Sounds like a Scouty problem to me.
She swallowed it?
I mean, the little one is evil.
I would rather sell a child than sell my blue Mufasa at the moment. This is how much I'm on board because I'm out of Bitcoin. I'm now into ushies. I'm just going to be a day trader. Exactly.
Keep us posted, Dal. Hopefully by tomorrow you found your blue ushy thing.
It's stressful here, okay? Everyone's fighting. We don't know where it is. We think it's in the house, but we don't know.
Ushies have taken over your life, and Rachel from Cranbrook understands. Good morning, Rachel. What's going on with you guys and ushies?
Oh, good morning. My daughter's absolutely obsessed with them. She gets really upset when she gets more than the same one. So she's got three of a kind at the moment and probably two of a kind of something else. She likes to take them to school with her, which is just not on because they're not allowed that sort of stuff at school. Mm. And she also likes to take them to bed with her. She's got about 15.
Oh, gosh.
15 in the bed.
Yeah, I actually found them on her bed yesterday and I thought, no, that's not going to happen. So I just put them on a bedside table and she can just deal with it that way.
That's a step too far. All right. Thank you, Rachel. Now, you mentioned about school. Now, I'm very fascinated to talk to our next guest, which is Ben. Ben from Penrith. Hey, Ben.
Ed, Grant and Ash, you legends of radio. How are you?
So, Ben, are you a teacher?
Yeah, I'm a teacher.
All right.
I've got to let Grant down gently here. The blue Mufasa, Grant, actually isn't the rare one. It's the furry one. So you can leave it in the bin and rest assured that you're not losing any money.
It's not the $100,000 one. You're right. The furry one is. That's the big dog. I'm a couple of steps down from the big one.
I think Ash is on the money with some guy just putting it up there hoping that, you know, someone's going to bid $5,000.
Yeah, we did have someone message in, Ben, to say that their son has 15 blue Mufasas. So
he's rich. He's a millionaire.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, but it's crazy at school. I sent out a staff email saying, if you don't want your shoes, give them to me. And they were all laughing. And the kids are going insane. They haven't been banned yet because the principal said they can go on the pencils. So it's technically educational and it's helping them to focus on their learning. But we have trade, minutes at school. So recess and lunch, I'll get out the front and I'll say, right, trading is open. And I'm not joking, you know. Parents tell their kids, why'd you trade 2 gold for a normal? You know, 2 gold is worth so much more. And, you know, they're carrying around glad bags full of them. And as soon as the day starts, they come up to me and they're like, Mr. Croon, what do you need? What do you need?
So, what do you need? So it's like a what do you need? You're just scratching yourself at the train station. That's...
The OG OC Queen Hassan.
I know you're only trying to help. You're just making everything worse.
She's about to embark on her next exciting chapter with The Hills reboot.
Please welcome Misha Barton.
Season 2 of The Hills New Beginnings is out now on Foxtel, and one of the new stars of it is on the phone right now from LA. We welcome Misha Barton. Hello, darling.
Hi, how's it going?
We're so good. Now, us normal Aussies imagine that people that live in Hollywood just do Hollywood things all day. So are you just on a banana land somewhere sipping a mojito, right? That's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do all day, every day.
Heaven. Take us back to the moment that, was it a call-up where they said, Misha, we need you. Get back on the telly. The Hills is waiting. Or did you go to them? How did this all come to be?
No. So they came to me and I really didn't take it seriously because I was like, oh, okay, they're remaking that. You know, I mean, I didn't know what to think. And I was just sort of like, all right. And then they approached me through every angle, like even through my hairdresser, right down to like I'd be sitting in the chair getting my hair dyed. And he'd be like, you know, I've heard about they really want you for The Hills. I was like, oh, my goodness. They've literally come from every angle. And then cut to, I see them all on the red carpet, and they're there at the MTV Movie Awards looking glamorous, hanging out, and nobody seems to be pulling each other's hair. And I was like, there they are, you know, all this time later. And they seem to, like, you know, reconnecting. And I think that's really fun because everything kind of comes full circle. The OC, that whole group in Los Angeles. You know, we all grew up around each other, and so it's all full circle, you guys.
So what was your sort of resistance to it? If you sort of fobbed the idea off as, nah, it's just a bit of silly talk, is it because you hadn't done reality TV before and this was something so different for you?
You know, I think it's just one of those things, like I'm used to hiding behind a character and scripts and lines, and this is very much exposing myself and letting people into my world, which I tend to be a little bit more private. Mm. There's always been a lot of mystery around me, I feel like. And see this group of people come back together again in their 30s and see what everybody's doing in their lives and catch up, you know.
Has that been frustrating for you for the last 10 years? Because you are someone who is, you know, been very private, but you've been a darling of the gossip magazines and gossip websites. Photos of you just getting a coffee seem to be able to get sold. Has that been frustrating for you?
Paparazzi getting a coffee.
Oh, did you really?
Did you?
Oh, my God. Where did they hide? Were they hiding in the bushes? Or how close do they get?
Oh, no. He was kind of far away. He was kind of far away.
Do you have, like, a sixth sense now of that? Because it's happened to you so much. Can you sort of sense it as it's happening?
Yes and no. They're very sneaky. They hide in cars with their, like, blacked-out windows, you know? I mean, you can only do so much. You can't live your whole life worrying about that entirely, you know? Yeah. I mean, life is life. You got to get on with it at the same time. Yeah. Got to go to the gym. You got to go get coffee.
You got to live. Now, Misha, when you're playing a character in something like The OC, you get a script, you know exactly what's going to air, but it's different on The Hills because it does have the reality element. So, I mean, it's pretty gutsy. How do you kind of control the narrative? Have you seen some edits where you've gone, oh, actually, I'm coming off pretty bad there, given that they film so much and then use so little?
Well, you don't. I mean, you don't get to see anything. I mean, it's different because there's like, it's not like waking up in the morning. There's different events that we go to, and really like how people are dealing with each other dictates where the story goes. So like if, for instance, we go out one night to Justin's concert and there's a bunch of drama between two certain people, well, that dictates where we're filming for the next week because they'll follow that. So it's controlled and it's not controlled, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. Misha Barton, if you wouldn't mind, could you stay there for just a little bit longer? We want to ask you about when you called out Perez Hilton, who's been hassling you for probably 10 years. And also, what about the rumors that there's an OC reboot? Any truth in those? More with you, Misha Barton, next.
It's such a big show that's been around since, what, 2006? I think it kicked off. So for everyone else in the cast, they've known each other intimately for 13 years. Was it hard to work your way in? Like, did you find resistance from the other cast members being the newbie?
Well, I think if it was there, they didn't show it openly. Everyone was pretty much
lovely, but at the same time, they've got a lot of drama that they haven't resolved. They do not talk very well over the last 10 years. So they had to do a lot of catch up between each other over resentments that might have been hiding there and all of that good stuff. Yeah. And I do try to be the voice of reason.
You do.
Part of my character over time. Like, I'm just not, like, I've been through so much in the press and in life, and, like, I've seen so much that it's not my place to really, like, I prefer to try to bring things back down to earth. And if you push me, I'll defend myself and definitely get in there.
But that's why I like you talking about, you know, having old beefs and you know, being able to, and sort of in a reality show now, sort of show more of yourself. The bit that I love was when you got to confront Perez Hilton, the gossip blogger.
Oh yes,
For the way he's been attacking you in the last 10 years. Did that feel good? Because that, man, you nailed him. It was great.
It did. It was complicated. I had a lot of feelings. I was getting very frustrated. He has done so much to not just me, but so many girls over the years. And he really did start a whole kind of awful generation of just hatred and bullying. And I hate that stuff. So, yeah, I let him have it. Yeah.
Once I sat behind a guy at Hamilton over in the States, and he was talking. And afterwards he was like saying how he didn't like Hamilton. And I was like, what? And then he got up and it was Perez Hilton. And I was like, well, if he doesn't like Hamilton, he can go home.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. There you go.
There you go,
that's
Misha.
Really suspicious right there.
Misha Barton, thank you so much.
Can I ask one more?
I knew you were such a fan of the Hills.
One more. My wife will kill me if I don't ask. Hey, rumors of OC being rebooted, of a new generation like we're seeing with 90210, maybe a different take on it, true or not true?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit in between. I think they really want to do something to honor the legacy of the show, and there's definitely always talks about it. The last I heard, and this is the truth, we're going to try to get the cast together for a private dinner, like just get everybody reunited, which would be a great place to kick off and like see from now on out, like if there is a future for some sort of proper reuniting, you know.
Okay.
Marissa can be raised from the dead. We might
it. Yeah, the ghost of Marissa. I love that. Misha Barton, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much. Stay well. Be happy. Hopefully we will see your ghost appear on some sort of OC reboot. Who knows? But season 2 of The Hills, New Beginnings, is out now on MTV and Foxtel. Thanks, matey.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
I got a problem, MC.
What's that?
So I flew in 11 p.m. last night to Sydney, so I'm very tired.
Okay.
But as you know, I've dropped my debit card in somewhere in my car, so all I've got is a dollar on me. So I can't.
Coffees are a dollar at 7-Eleven.
What? Sorry?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Nothing's a dollar these days. Oh,
they are. So, I mean, be coffee clever at 7-Eleven with freshly ground coffee for just a buck.
Oh, this well is done. Gorgeous.
Very well done. Now, up next, Ask Me Anything. We're going to speak to a couple in that were part of an arranged marriage that was some years and some kids ago. So you'll be fascinated to hear, well, how long was your courtship, Ash London, with your husband?
A year.
Okay, that didn't help me as much as I'd hoped. So my wife and I were together for 8.5 years before we got married. Let's find out how much time had these two spent together before they got married.
When you walked down the aisle, how long had you actually spent together?
Maybe five hours together.
Five hours.
Wow. A year's more than 5 hours.
It was, but still didn't help me. But up next, a couple in an arranged marriage.
Can't get enough Today FM breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM. Ask me anything.
I got a question for you.
I gotta ask you.
Time for another Ask Me Anything, and we are joined by a happy married couple in the studio. Lena and Cal Pesh have been married for 12 years, but their wedding, guys, was an arranged marriage. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this is just, I mean, a lot of people would straight up say, this is weird. And I'm sure you've heard that before, haven't you, guys?
All the time.
All the time, yep.
So what nationality are you?
We're Hindu Indians.
Indians. And you're both born in Australia?
Neither of us.
Okay. So how old were you when you came over?
I was 26. And Lena was born in New Zealand.
Are you born New Zealand?
New Zealand.
Oh, another Kiwi.
I'm a Kiwi. Represent.
And did you always know that an arranged marriage was going to be a part of your future? And I assume that's the traditional thing.
For Kulpish, it's definitely something that's not normal. But for me, it was no intention of having an arranged marriage whatsoever.
Really? Oh. So when did you, at what age did your parents kind of say, hey, we've been chatting and we've got a proposal for you?
So it was a little bit different to the old school where your parents would just arrange it and you don't have any say in it. Mm. We were actually in India for 3 months after traveling the world. And my sister was also there. She's 4 years older than me, and they decided to arrange her marriage. So it's a little bit like shopping for a husband where word gets out that there's two girls from New Zealand here. And then the, you know, elders get involved and they make calls and then they set up meetings for the guys to come to the girls. Wow. And the girls, just see if they like the look of a person. And if they do, then they then hold a second meeting.
So first meeting, you don't even so where are you and where are they? Like, are you sort of up on a balcony or like through a two-way mirror?
Two-way mirror, that's what I'm talking about, Ed.
Yeah. So Kulpish came with like maybe 5 or 6 people and they just sat in the lounge where I was hidden away in the kitchen for a bit, and my job is literally just to take them some water and drinks and then hide back in the kitchen. So we don't speak or anything.
It was just like 30 seconds, something like that.
Once you've effectively done your window shopping and found the one that you think will be yours forever, like that, you then have to start the process, I would imagine, of getting to know one another, but getting to fall in love with one another. How difficult is that process when you're complete strangers?
It was quite easy, to be honest with you, actually, because so the first meeting we don't speak. We then have a second meeting where we can go up in a private balcony and actually speak to each other, ask whatever questions you want to ask, and then from that point forward it's either a yes or a no, definitely.
Whoa. From one conversation.
Yes.
What were the questions? What did you ask?
I can tell just Sigurd, the first question was, are you drinking?
Are you a drinker?
Are you drinking?
I like, and you said no.
And do you eat meat? Because I did not want a vegetarian.
Hey, those were my two questions too when I met my wife.
When you walked down the aisle, how long had you actually spent together by the time you actually faced each other at the wedding? Like,
maybe five hours together.
5 hours.
So how did that feel? You must have been so nervous. I mean, part of you must have thought, what if I don't actually turn out to like this person? Because so often you meet someone and you think they're great, and then a month in you go, they're a psycho.
Yeah, I mean, it's very risky, to be honest with you. And the times that we could meet up, it was like an hour or two that he would pick me up, but there would also be a very strict curfew of the time I had to be back home.
Did you kiss before your wedding?
No.
So your first kiss was as husband and wife?
Yes. We don't even touch pretty much. Wow. Oh my the only gosh. Touching I did was holding on to him on the back of the bike, motorbike.
Wowzers, McGee.
And you got children? You guys got kids? What's happening?
Oh, yeah. You got two beautiful daughters.
Daughters. And would you think about when they came sort of into adulthood, would you think about maybe arranging marriages for them?
We're very open to it, completely up to them. If they would like us to help us, you know, in that process, then we're more than happy to. But if not, it's not going to be forced upon us.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
I would love to go to India and sit down while people brought men to me to choose from. That sounds like
married now.
Now I'm married, obviously.
Be weird now.
It took me 32 years to find a good one. Maybe it could have, you know, sped up the process, guys. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing your story with us. I think it's so wonderful to hear the different ways that people do things, and we really appreciate you helping us get to know you guys.
No worries. Thank you for having us.
Lovely to meet you.
You too.
Interesting idea coming out of Queensland. The Queensland government wants to make Christmas Eve a half-day public holiday so that workers are paid more. Yeah. The idea being that workers should decline to work after 6 p.m. the night before Christmas, or after 6 p.m. it's sort of officially a public holiday, so that they would get, well, double time or time and a half for working after 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Good idea, bad idea, you too.
Good idea. Because that's when I do my Christmas shopping. I leave it to the last minute.
Do you like, really?
Oh, yeah.
As long as they don't close the shops. Yeah, we're right.
Yeah, yep. So that's when it peaks, like their most trade. So if the everyone's making more money, mm-hmm. and I mean, that's when you should be home with your family. Of course they should give them more money.
Grant, I imagine you don't plan ahead. What time are you in the shops till on Christmas Eve?
Oh, 9:30 p.m. Yeah, for sure. As I'm just scouting around my last couple of little prezzies, for sure. But I've worked in Kmart on Christmas Eve, and it was hectic. Like, you deserve penalty rates for putting in hours there.
Absolutely. Angry parents.
What did you do?
I worked in the toy section. So it was my job to sort of, you know, maintain that area, get everyone what they needed. But it is so crazy at Christmas time at Kmart. I remember there being a human poo in one aisle and a vomit in the next aisle. Some little kid had done a turd in aisle three and there was a vomit in aisle four.
Not for me.
That's Christmas for you.
That's giving them money.
Christmas.
It's not the package I was hoping for, thank you, Santa.
It's been a big show and we're about to go. So give us a ring for one last thing.
You can call up about absolutely anything. That's what Joanne in Cranbrook's done. Good morning, darling.
Morning, guys.
What would you like to chat about today, darling?
So, look, this is just off the back of Ed breaking my heart last week with his discussion of his mate Richard. I just wanted to let you guys know and let everyone know that we actually have a local gentleman in Penrith who's organised a group called Penrith Men's Walk and Talk.
That's awesome.
So it's amazing. Yeah. It started at about 10 people. It's now roughly 120 to 150 every single Thursday night. These men meet in coffee at the coffee club in the Penn River. They have a coffee, which is donated by local businesses. Wow. And then they do the 6.2K walk around the Nepean River every single Thursday night.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just a quick shout-out to the guys. On the 29th of the 8th, they're having a plus one night. So they're saying, bring your mates, bring your dads, bring your pops, bring your sons. So, it's amazing.
We'll make sure we push that closer to the day on our socials as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much, guys.
Good on you, Joanne. I'm looking at it now. This is excellent. Great work. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Love that idea. Good on you, Joanne.
That's really good. Good job.
Linda is up next in French's Forest. Morning, Linda.
Oh, hi there.
What would you like to discuss with us?
Well, I'm actually reaching out. I'm hoping that you can help me. I've got a big year ahead. I've got an 18-year-old, a 21st, and a 50th all together.
Oh.
I'm looking for any venues or anybody out there could help with that.
Oh, which area would you like to have it in, Linda?
Preferably Lower North Shore or the Northern Beaches, just because it's near where we live.
Leave that with us. We'll come back to you.
Require a little bit of research for us.
I'm sure they're...
Someone listening might have a suggestion.
Yeah, 100% we'll be able. Otherwise, you might just have to hire out the Harbour Bridge by the sounds of things. But all right, leave that with us. We'll come back to you on that.
I don't know
if you've got an idea, by the way, you can call us on 13.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Sam in Campbelltown, one last thing. Welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning.
Morning. What's happened, Al?
Well, yesterday I got humiliated by my 8-year-old because I ordered some chocolate. And she said to me, Mummy, you need to stop eating chocolate. You're getting too dark. And I said to her, what do you mean? She goes to me, well, you're already black. You don't need to eat any more chocolate. It's not good for you.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me?
She didn't understand that your skin colour has nothing to do with eating chocolate.
But she keeps telling me every day, the more chocolate you eat, Mummy, the darker you're going to get. You're not going to be able to do anything.
At least she didn't say the fatter you'll get and you're getting fat. I mean,
it's a positive.
I think you do need to have a discussion about
how by that logic, I would be the Milky Bar kid.
You are the Milky Bar
kid. No one is more pale than I am.
Clever. For realising you don't have to pay $5 for great coffee, there is freshly ground coffee at 7-Eleven for just $1. Be coffee clever at 7-Eleven.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, Today FM Breakfast. Grant Denyer, Ed Cavalier, and Ash London. Maybe it's a brand new day.